Eternal Father, we pause a moment in our worship once again to reflect on thy majesty and thy power. We pray that thy Spirit, promised and given, may be here to direct our thoughts into channels of truth and righteousness. Give to us clearness of thinking, that as we review the Bible and its teaching, we may discern what thou wouldst have us be and what thou wouldst have us do. We ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The prophet Jeremiah, and I would suggest you find his book, is in a large sense unique. That, of course, is true of every prophet and every person. But some are more unique. And Jeremiah is one such. I want to consider not his teaching this morning, but his relationship to that teaching. What manner of man was he? What ways did God use him? How well did he allow himself to be used? And why has his story and his reaction to his ministry and his problems been preserved for us? That group of questions should be posed by every thoughtful student of the Bible to every episode in the Bible. Not only should we read the Word, but we should carefully ponder the circumstances. We should seek prayerfully and by close scrutiny of the Word to imagine what took place, to look at the characters that are described in the Bible as emerging, against whom and with whom the personality that you are studying meets and decides and enters into cooperation or conflict. And then as you imagine that, slip over very easily to the 20th century and our circumstances, and you will get why the Bible is written. There are some 500 episodes in the Bible. They cover every circumstance that every man will ever encounter with the divine diagnosis and prescription. But Jeremiah was called of God. Verse 4 of Jeremiah 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, I have a plan for you formulated before your birth. Verse 5. God has a plan for everyone. Everyone. Now, everyone doesn't fulfill that plan. God will modify alternatives that are never as satisfactory. But God has a plan for every man. He has a plan before man was born. What is the reaction of man to that plan? Verse 7, what was Jeremiah's? Verse 6. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak, I am a child. Don't send me. I don't want to go. Now that was a measure of humility. But there also can be a measure of resistance. We don't want to do what God asks us to do. Many men in the Bible, Moses. I haven't spoken Egyptian for 40 years. I'm very slow at trying to get my vocabulary up. How can I speak to the king in diplomatic language? Jeremiah too says, I can't speak. The Lord said to him in verse 7, don't say I'm a child. In verse 9, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. As I put my words in thy mouth. To another prophet, he said, who made your tongue? Who made your tongue? God could make a tongue to speak. He can make that tongue to speak any language he wants to speak. He empowers. The prophet of Gorham, Maine, Ellen White, was also diffident. I don't want to go. I'm scared. I don't like to meet people. You know, back of I don't like to meet people is a considerable amount of pride. You think about that for a little while. Pride. Not a nice word, is it? How does it show itself? You're scared of making a fool of yourself, and you think so much of yourself that you don't want to make a fool of it. See, a child doesn't mind. You ask a child to do something, and he'll stand up and do it. It doesn't mind. You see them in 13 Sabbaths so many times. They just sing, whether they're on key or not. So what? What does it matter in 50 years? As Johnson said so many years ago, music is pleasant sound. That child making a wonderful sound to its mother. Wonderful. The Lord first of all had to change Jeremiah's mind. Don't say, don't depreciate yourself. I have called you. You go. The Lord strengthened him. He gave him visions in order to strengthen him. Verse 11, he said to him, what do you see? He says, I see the rod of an almond tree. And the Lord says, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my work to perform it. Now in this version and in most versions, you miss what the Lord is saying. Moffat has tried to capture it. And I think there are one or two translations. I think the American Standard Version tries to capture it. In the Hebrew, the word for almond means watcher. If you look up at the great almond groves that they have north of us here, the almonds blossom before they put leaves. They're the earliest of the plants. In fact, they belong to the species Prunus, and you see them blossoming before they have the leaves on very, very early in the spring. And the almond was called the watcher or the waker because in the Hebrew figures of speech and sign language, it was the first one to awaken after the sleep of death, symbolized by the winter. That's why Aaron's rod was an almond rod, but it blossomed, brought forth almond. It was the awakener, symbol of the resurrection. And then the answer that the Lord gives in verse 12, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten. Now Moffat says, I have seen the rod of a watch tree. And the Lord says, great, I am watching over you to protect you. Another translation said, I have seen the rod of a wake tree. And the Lord says, I am awake, ready to help you. There's a pun on the name of almond. And so the Lord says, I am anticipating going ahead. I am awake, I am watching. Then he gave him another vision in verse 13. What do you see? He says, I see a boiling, seething pot, and it faces toward the north. The Lord says, out of the north an evil shall break forth. That pot that was there towards the north was sort of bending over. so that when the material that was boiling in it overflowed the edge of the pot, it would flow south from the north. This is a vision of the enemies that are at the north. Cauldron of boiling oil or boiling material ready to overflow and engulf the people of God. The Lord says, yes, out of the north an evil will break forth. I will bring all the families of the kingdoms of the north, the Babylonians. They shall come and set everyone his throne in the entering of Jerusalem. Thou therefore, verse 17, gird up thy loins, arise and speak unto them what I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. You know, the most scary things a preacher ever sees is an angry face. They very seldom throw rocks at him, very seldom tie a bomb to the bottom of his car, but they sure have faces. The Lord says, don't be scared of their faces. I can take care of that. Lest I confound thee before them. I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, a brazen wall, against the princes thereof, and priests thereof, and people thereof. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now this is the call of a prophet. You can look through the Bible. There are some 70 prophets in the Bible. Their calls parallel this quite closely. They're indifferent, they're diffident, they're afraid, they see nothing but difficulties. The Lord gives them a vision, the vision strengthens their faith and trust. The Lord assures them of his constant presence, and the Lord promises to empower them so that they can fulfill the design. Then he tells them, don't deviate from the message that I give you. Hold your finger here and turn to the next book, but one, the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. Chapter 2, I beg your pardon. Ezekiel chapter 2. Verse 2, the Spirit entered into me, set me upon my face, feet. Verse 3, the Lord said, I send thee to the children, to a rebellious nation. They've transgressed, they're impudent children, stiff-hearted. Speak the word, say, thus saith the Lord, verse 5. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then in verse 6, be not afraid, not of their words. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. Same thing, faces, though they be a rebellious house. Thou shalt speak my words unto them. So the prophet is commissioned, in rain or sunshine, to declare the word of the Lord, whether they will listen, whether they will not listen. Call, strengthened by a vision, a granting of the divine infusion of a word, and then the commission, go speak the word, whether they will hear or whether they will not hear. Now let's find Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah 36. See what Jeremiah did. The people that he dealt with threw him in jail. Verse 4, Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah. Now Baruch was his secretary. Baruch means blessing, like Barak. And Baruch was certainly a blessing to Jeremiah. He called him and he says, now I'm going to dictate my message. I'd like you to take down that message. Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him on the roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read the roll which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, that's the Day of Atonement. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah which come out of their city. Now notice that verse very closely. Read the roll which thou hast written from my mouth. See, all the words. And these are the words of the Lord. They were Jeremiah's speech, but they were the words of the Lord. I've lived long enough in academia to know the arguments in that famous phrase you may have heard, the word and the words. These are the words. What is the word? And I must confess that kind of nitpicking and hair splitting as leaves me unaffected and unmoved. You cannot get at the word without the words. And the more you mess around and mutilate and dilute and dissect the words, the less of the word you get. He says, go and read the roll which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord. Verse 10, then read Baruch in the book, the words of Jeremiah. See, there were words of Jeremiah, but they are the words of the Lord. In the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, the entry of the new gate. Hold your finger here and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, verse 6, 16. Acts 2, 16. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days. What are the next two words? What are the next two words? Saith whom? God. See, this is the prophet's word. God is speaking. What I am saying today transfers over to the writings of Ellen White. Never forget that. Keep that right in the back of your mind. The same spirit, inspired in the same way, the same kind of human being. Of all the 70 prophets and all the prophets. See, the word which was spoken by the prophet Joel saith God. All right, so Jeremiah wrote out his testimony. Wrote them in a scroll. Now let's find the 51st chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 51, coming to the end of his ministry. Verses 59 onward. And the word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah the son of Neriah the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah the king of Judah unto Babylon in the fourth year. Seraiah was a quiet prince. And Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. He was a quiet prince. He gave him the testimony, and he says, you keep this. And those words that were spoken against Babylon took 70 years to fulfill. But they were completely fulfilled. Completely fulfilled. So how does he write? He writes testimonies in a roll by dictation through a secretary
And those words that he writes down, that the secretary copies, he says, are the words of the Lord. They were read directly, immediately, for current needs. Now there were testimonies that he wrote in the scroll and gave it to Seraiah, quiet prince, and said, keep it. They're going to apply to a future day. And if you look over those 25 million words that Ellen White has written over 70 years, you'll find some of them written in all sorts of strange places. Little cottage in Healdsworth. Little farmhouse outside Healdsworth. On the train. On ferry boats. She was invited one time to a special feast, picnic. She says there were over 30 people there. She ate, she mingled with them for a few minutes, and she found a quiet room and wrote for the next 6 hours. All sorts of places, put away. And the Lord would tell her, 12 months later, 10 years later, send this to such and such a place. Would arrive at the right time. Written a long, long time before. Exactly what God wanted her to do. Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 1. The captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hoseiah, and the people from the least even to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah, the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord God, even all this remnant, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. What are we being told here? That in times of great crisis, leaders came to the prophet and said, have you got a special testimony from the Lord for us? And Jeremiah the prophet said, I have heard you. I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer, I will declare it unto you. I have no light at the moment, but I will pray. And if the Lord will tell me anything, I will tell you that same thing. That happened over and over and over again in the experience of every prophet. Chapter 43, verse 2. And it came to pass, verse 1, when Jeremiah had finished speaking, he'd given his testimony, for that which the Lord God had sent him, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoseiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men. Now notice, Jeremiah 42 verse 1. These same men come for a testimony. Jeremiah gives them the testimony. Verse 2. All the proud men said to Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord thy God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt, but Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee against us. You didn't get this from the Lord. Your secretaries gave you this. Your associates are giving you this information and turning you against the best policy. This is not an inspired statement. Now, what was the seed that begat that statement? Verse 2. All the proud men. What is pride? Pride is an overview of our abilities and our position. First commandment. Somebody put the first commandment very powerfully in a book I'm just reading for the second time. What is the first commandment? Who on earth do you think you are? That's the first commandment. Who on earth do you think you are? You boss? You're going to call the shot? Who do you think you are? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And when you decide to call the shots in your own life, you are taking the place of God. How much of his own affairs did Christ dictate? For my own self, I can do nothing. What I hear the Father say, that I do. Satan comes to him and says, change this stone into bread. I can't do that. God hasn't told me to. I can't take the place of God. Satan wanted Christ to take the leadership of himself. Proud men rejected the testimony. Jeremiah 21, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah when Zedekiah the king sent him. Verse 2, saying, inquire. Then said to him, thus saith the Lord, verse 4, I will turn back the weapons of war. See, the king sends for a testimony. Jeremiah prays, sends a testimony. When the people hear the testimony, they reject it out of hand. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. So many times was the prophet rejected that he says in Jeremiah 29, then I said, I'll not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Perfectly human. He has had enough. I've given them all these years of service and they don't listen to me. They don't listen to the Lord. They ask me for a testimony and when I bring the testimony, they cut it up with a penknife and burn it in the fire. I'm not going to say anything more to them. But notice his response. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. He had to say it. Jeremiah 29 verse 24. He was plagued with false prophets. 29:24. Thus shalt thou speak unto Shemaiah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people, saying, the Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada, that he shall be officers in the house of the Lord, for every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldst put him in prison in the stocks. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah, which maketh himself a prophet? For therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, this captivity is long, build houses. Verse 29, Zephaniah the priest read the letter. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, verse 30. Send to all them of the captivity, saying, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust a lie. Behold, I will punish Shemaiah and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among his people. Now he is one among many prophets, false prophets. Take your concordance sometime and go through the book of Jeremiah. Over and over again, there were people claiming to have light from heaven, special light. Jeremiah was out of date. He was unaware of the circumstances. He was going his own way. They brought in their false testimony. Time proved them wrong. For over 40 years, Jeremiah wrote and testified.
They put him in jail. They threatened to kill him. They let him down into that pit, half full of mud and goo. Gave him no food. When that kindly black man saw his state, he realized that if he had put ropes under his arms, they would have pulled right through his joints. So he got some old underwear, the word for clouts, many times washed and soft, and he let them down. He says, tuck them under your arm, let me pull you up. Emaciated, weak, Jeremiah is brought to the surface. Misrepresented, accused, falsely, finally taken down to Egypt. And there, according to an ancient patristic record, stoned to death. Fulfilling Christ's statement, thou that stonest the prophets, stonest the prophets, rejectest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thee? Thou wouldest not. See, sent to the husbandman is prophets. Many. Elijah, Elisha, Jonah, Isaiah, 100 years later, Jeremiah, Daniel, Nehemiah, Ezra, Malachi, all down the centuries. The fate of a prophet, very difficult. Nobody would give a life insurance policy to a prophet. The same attitude of prideful rejection, many times manifest against 20th century prophets. Let's look at life, let's look at the circumstances of life, through the divine perspective of the inspired narrative. God has written these things beforehand, aforetime, for our learning and admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let's heed the prophets. Let's read the words of the prophets wherever they come, old or new, as the words of God himself. And so we shall prosper. For they are they that testify of me, Jesus Christ said. And we should never forget that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee that holy men of old, of whom the world was not worthy, faithfully recorded thy word, preserved them in strange, secret, safe places. We thank thee that angels of God watched over the holy manuscript. We thank thee today that today thy voice can just as readily speak to us as thou didst speak in days gone by. Bless us, Lord, as we search thy word. Give to us wisdom to understand. Give to us courage to follow. Give to us submission to obey. Give to us humility to trust. We ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.